This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to screw up Mother's Day. I just want to throw this out there. We got to keep talking about it every
morning. You got plenty of time.
I know I do.
You're going to screw it up, aren't you?
I don't want to screw it up.
You want me to text you on Saturday?
No. I need just constant reminders today because I keep thinking about it. I have so many other things in my mind and I'm just like, oh, I have time.
What are you doing?
I don't know yet. My wife she definitely doesn't want to make a big deal out of this.
Right.
And frankly, I think she'd just rather be left alone.
Okay.
Because my kids are definitely at that manipulative age,
right,
where they're like, you know what we should do, Mom? We should go to Dave and Buster's. You love it there.
Right.
And she doesn't.
No, she wants to probably do something by herself. I know people, we always joke about it when someone goes, how would you like to spend your Mother's Day? Like, away from my children and my spouse. And
I don't hear that as much from moms. You hear dads are just like, that's like our joke.
Oh, I've heard it from moms, too. And, you know, sometimes people go, well, that's a way to spend Mother's Day alone. But
for
people, especially with young children,
yeah.
I think a nice thing is a getaway. But I also know if they're really young children, moms just worry even when they're away.
Yeah. I once said that to my wife. I'm like, you work really hard. Just why don't you get away? And she said, no, it's Mother's Day. I don't want to get away from the thing that made me a mother. And I go, don't you call them things.
God. Oh, boy.
But yes, I mean, I think the Father's Day thing, my daughter, who was on with us last week.
Yeah.
People keep telling me I'm lazy. I said something like, I just want to just sit around. We'll hang out. And I think my daughter said something like, no, something you don't usually do. I was like,
that's great.
Zing. Thanks,
Zinger.
Kid.
All right. Anyway. So my morning, it just got off to a real horrible start. Horrible is probably an overstatement. How about creepy, just start?
All right. I have no idea.
All right. So
I'm trying to think what could possibly
happen. I live in the country. And
all
if you
right.
live in the country,
yeah.
there's a thing called deer ticks or ticks.
We have them in the some semi-suburbs.
I know you do. But when I ask people around here, I'm like, did you ever have a tick on you? Other than like just brushing it off. No. Well, you don't live in the country because we've had them numerous times.
Around here, we get them a lot.
we get them so much. I got my doxycycline in the cabinet.
For real?
Yes.
Oh, cool. If I ever need it.
We get a prescription for it because what happens is...
Like from a doctor or
yes.
a guy?
No, you know,
I don't know.
Go to a guy. It's a doctor because we have... and my husband hunts, my son hunts, my daughter fishes. Because we live in the country, if you do get one and it becomes engorged or if it's there for an extended period of time, it's something you take prophylactically... so that it stops anything from becoming a problem. Anyway, so I wake up this morning. I'm already a little behind the eight ball. Like 5 minutes, I hit the snooze. Get in the shower. I'm scrubbing along, and then I feel something. And it's on my back, like my side, like where my ribs are. And at first, I'm like, what is this thing? So I'm trying to pull, and it's rubbery, and it's like not moving. And it's movable, but it's not coming off. And then I'm like, oh, no.
You can't see it, obviously.
I can't see it from the front. I could not see it. But when I turn to the side, all of a sudden, I look, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Can I guess?
What?
Was it a tick?
Yes.
Woo! Sorry,
now, my husband, who had gotten up because I heard him walking in the hall. Sometimes he'll get up around the time I do and then go back to bed. I'm like yelling for him because here I am. I've got like shampoo in my hair and I'm like trying to get it out. And I'm like, right. I got to get this thing off. So I'm yelling and I'm yelling. I'm like, why isn't he running? Why isn't he coming? I don't know what's happening. Finally, I grab the towel. I get out. I'm walking through across my house and the front door is open. And I'm like, what's he doing?
Hey, was he scared because you're yelling?
Sometimes he pees off the deck. You know, we live out in the country. No.
Around but here, actually, we sometimes forget when the toilet.
No, but actually, he was outside watching the rain because we have this pool project going on and we have like this trench for drainage and it's like the rain is certainly not helping.
Sure, the rain.
So he's coming in and he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I have a tick on me.
Let me finish peeing.
And then he comes in the bathroom and he's like looking and then he's looking and like, you know, I want this thing off like. Yesterday. Looking. Then he goes, hold on a second. And I'm like, I'm not holding on very long. He's like, I have to get my glasses.
Right.
He gets his glasses. I got to get a light. And I'm like, all right, come on. And then he's trying to pull on it. It's on a spot where I have no feeling at all. My one surgery, this was a latissimus dorsi flap procedure where they literally.
Translate that.
I have like, well, just put it this, it's part of my reconstruction after breast cancer.
Okay, all right.
So they had to take a muscle out and they turn it around and they use that so they could feed the skin graft that they had to put because I had so much damage from radiation. So I have this scar that's like, it's at 8 inches long, 6 inches long on my back. I have no feeling along the scar, which makes me think that's why I didn't know this thing was there. Usually you can feel like a movement, a tickle, something. I have no feeling. And my husband's like, I'm trying to be gentle. I don't want to hurt you. I'm like, I can't feel anything. Just cut the damn thing out. It took like 15 minutes for him. He's going, is there something else I can put on? Like, I know they say like dish detergent and stuff. I'm like, I had soap all over. Just get it off. So he finally got it off.
What did he use? Tweezers or
tweezers?
Like,
you kind of pull towards the head, and you got to pull it off.
As you're telling the story, I was Googling this because I'm trying to find out. I thought someone once told me don't use tweezers because all you basically do is take the tick and crush it into you. And they have like special tick removal tweezers. Have you seen these?
Well, they do, but. Look, you have to grab it right. That's the problem. Yeah. You can't just grab the body. You've got to go up towards the front and pull. That's the problem. But he had a good lock on me, this thing. It was disgusting. And, oh, God. I hate it. So I've taken my 2-doxycycline.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want you to know.
If I need some, you have more?
No, I just want you to know that doxycycline makes my stomach very painful. I don't like it. So I did put some food in. I had to eat a donut this morning. It was rough. And so in about an hour, I'll probably be feeling it.
Well, now I know if I was going to get you a Mother's Day gift. I was looking online. There's a bunch of different tick-related items with great names. There's the tick mitt. Tick defense glove, which I guess you could rub it on your body. It gets rid of the ticks. There's a product called Tick Take. I don't know what that is, but it looks like, it helps you get the ticks out. It looks like measuring spoons, like for your kitchen. Like
they have all kinds of things. The
other one's called Ticked Off. That's a good name. I like that
one. Yeah, that's cute.
That's a good name.
Yeah.
Makes me want to get bit by a tick.
Right.
No, it doesn't.
No, you never. It's gross.
Let me order you one of these. They're cheap.
I know they are, but the point is a tweezer can work. I've taken ticks off. My husband is the one who gets the most ticks because he's out in the woods. He goes hunting. I always do tick checks. I've done this before. He took an awful long time.
I'm sorry, he had to go through that. That's not fun.
It was just when they're like that, you're like, you're feeding off of me. That's disgusting.
You're welcome.
So I've taken the, you know, that's why I have. Right. And it's not a huge prescription. It's just so many pills and you're supposed to take two at a time. And then we ask for a refill. You don't want to have to be running to someplace every time it happens when you live in the country.
Do you have a bunch of other medicine in case I need anything? I'm just wondering.
I used to have a boss,
his dad or his mom or someone in his family was a, and his dad wasn't.
Well, his dad was a physician. My husband's dad was a physician.
Right. Well, it was like that, but it was my former boss's someone in his family. Uncle maybe was a dentist, and he would just casually go, yeah, call him up for a Z-Pack. I have a bunch of Z-Packs at home.
Oh, no.
So he'd get that, and it was like, how does he do that?
This is just because of the fact that
I understand,
we get a lot of ticks. We used to have to call someone, they'd call it in, and then we said, is there any way we can just get I think we might get 10 at a time, and they just say, okay, we'll give you a refill, and if you're running low, let us know. We don't take them too much. We don't get that many.
And that's not one of those medicines where they're like, we want want to make sure you're not using these recreationally.
No, they don't give you any kind of buzz. If anything, they make you feel like crap.
Looking at these, if you want to, I really will buy one because I feel bad that this happened.
Don't worry. A bunch of
these look like tweezers. Some of them look like beer can openers.
Right.
There's one of these tick removers, Coughlin's tick remover. It looks like an EpiPen.
Oh, geez.
That is absolutely terrifying looking. Mm-hmm. I feel like it would take a chunk of your skin.
Yeah.
Like, you ever see those big diggers that'll dig the whole tree out?
Right, the roots?
That's what it looks like.
It's like
$3.49. Do you want it?
No, I'm okay. Yeah,
well, then nothing for Mother's
Hopefully
Day.
It did it okay, but I can't see. It was in a bad spot.
Don't you have to get the whole thing? If you don't get the whole thing, doesn't it regrow like dandelions? I don't know the answer.
He claims he got the whole thing. If he didn't get the whole thing, I will not be happy. It seems to be okay.
That'll teach
anyway,
you
that was my morning. So hello, everybody. What a day. We got a lot of things to talk about.
I just want to talk about this.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. We have other stuff.
It could be in a worse spot. They like certain spots, but this one was just on my back. Anyway, we're going to talk about Newark Airport.
Yeah, what is happening there?
There's some real concerns that it's not safe.
I felt that way before these news stories came out. No, seriously, it was like one of the worst airports I ever traveled through.
They're all, Philly, Newark.
Philly was rough.
Newark was the worst airport. The problem here is you have an airline that's telling their passengers to go somewhere else. There was an insider who talked with one news outlet to say that they would not fly out of Newark. They don't feel it's safe. There has been a multi-day meltdown at Newark Airport, including an actual loss of communication between air traffic controllers and the planes on the ground and in the sky. That's crazy. So we can certainly discuss that. Also, we have more information on that horrible murder that happened in Hazleton, where the body was found burning. This is, detective work is pretty amazing nowadays, how quickly they could narrow in on a suspect. They do have a suspect. He is on the run. They do not even believe he may be in the area, but
there's certain stories that are horrible, and you just, I don't want more information, but I know it's coming.
There is a manhunt underway for a Hazleton man who is suspected of killing a woman and burning her body. You might remember the story of the woman that was found along this road in Hazleton. Club 40 is the name of the road. And her body was found on fire on Sunday, April 27th. They have named 55-year-old Terrence Ray as the suspect in the murder of Jessica Lockwood. They're saying that his home is on Muir Avenue. And the reason that they were focused on him, they said there was a license plate detection system that picked up his dark blue Ford Explorer as the last vehicle entering that road before the body was found. So what happened was they went to search his home. And when they went there, they say they found a bunch of stuff, which would point to obviously some kind of violent situation. They found blood, a pool of blood in the basement. They say that there was a golden diamond stud earring that matched one missing from her body. So one is on the burned body. One is in his place.
He's not there.
There's blood on a red hand cart, a piece of rope, blood-soaked trash bags and paper towels. They even found two live 9mm rounds of ammunition. And they also say they found this fabric, and it seemed to match what was a pillowcase in the house and restraints found on her body. Very, very sad. They believe she was beaten inside that residence, and they also believe she was shot. She had a gunshot wound as well. And obviously, this is a murder. The family found the cell phone abandoned on a road in Hazleton. And when they got into the phone, there was a final text message conversation between her and someone who is labeled OG in her phone. And they say it turned out that was Ray, because the police say she had been suffering from substance use disorder. She had extensive neck surgeries, and that she needed, she wanted pain pills. And they say he had a prescription for Percocet. So they talked to the woman's husband, and he said he knew OG to be a pill dealer. So he said supposedly the husband called this guy from the prison, asked where his wife was. He says she failed to show up for a prearranged meeting. He did not know where she was. So they do believe he's fled the area. And they don't even believe he'll be in Luzerne County, but he's not in the vehicle, that Ford Explorer. They say they were able to find that. So if you have any information, you're not to engage or try to talk to him.
Yeah.
They want you to just contact the police. And it's just a really just horrible story of, you know, beating gunshots.
Yeah, the more details that come out on this, the harder it is. I saw this story before I even knew what happened to her. I saw the story about this mom of two kids mm-hmm. passing away, and they were doing a GoFundMe. And one of the lines they used just gutted me. It was, you know, as her children have to learn to live without mom, which I know is obvious in that situation, but sure. It just gutted me.
Yeah.
And then to find out all these other details, and then to find out they think she's trying to get drugs because she had so much pain from mm-hmm. surgery, and brings up all these other questions. Like, how do we end up in a situation in our country where people have to do things like this?
It's so sad. It truly is.
Sad
so
on
hopefully
multiple levels.
They'll be able to find him, but he is facing a number of charges. Number of charges, not just murder charges, abuse of a corpse, things like that as well.
Hey, I know sometimes people say, when the president talks, doesn't really, he just says things. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, my daughter comes up to me crying, Nancy.
Okay, what happened?
Crying. Daddy, is it true? Is it true the president won't let me get $30 this year?
God, shut up.
And I said, no, that's not what he said. That's just the mainstream media twisting his words. And she said, oh, I wish I knew that. I've been crying for hours.
God.
No, she didn't say any of that. But there is evidence now that the second part of that comment, because he said that last week, you know, maybe with the tariffs, instead of $30, kids will get $2.
Right.
And you might have to pay a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Target came out yesterday. Not Target. Mattel. They look similar. There's T's in the name. Mattel came out yesterday and said due to tariffs, they are trying to absorb as many costs as possible, but the prices are probably going to go up. And here's where Target comes in. Target raised the price of Barbie dolls 42.9% up to $14.99 a doll.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what the actual price was before this, but Johnny Lucas is a mathematician. Can you go backward from $14.99? Just what is the price minus the 42.9%?
Oh, there's an algebra formula for that.
I don't know. I lost it. But that's so we're starting to see this stuff. And if you look at some of these experts out there, they talk about like, oh, the ports are starting to get empty. We're going to see some weird stuff happening. And I'm not excited because I joke about my daughter coming up to me asking about the president making some decision about not getting $30, which she was never getting anyway. Because she's a bad kid. No, she's not. That's just an absurdity. Like, it's a weird statement.
Well, he also
to make.
Said you don't need 250 pencils. You could work with just 5, but I don't know how many people are even using pencils. But it's crazy.
Was that? I heard him say that. Was that tied in?
Yeah, I think it was
on
the same. I'm not.
Like,
he
Christmas
says,
won't be fun for your kids. Instead of $30, they only get 2. Instead of 250 pencils, they only get 3 pencils.
And only one peppermint stick instead of 25.
Yeah, I mean,
oh, well,
anyway. We're all tightening our belt. Unless it was made in China, then you don't
Look,
have a belt.
This thing with Alcatraz, well,
that's
not going to happen. This is one of those things where somebody talks to him. He thinks that, you know, oh, that would be a great idea. And he just, and the people around him don't say no.
Yeah.
And these things come up like I don't know if he's ever heard of a supermax prison. I don't know if he understands it only houses X amount of prisoners. There are so many bigger places
right.
That can house so many more and are more secure and don't cost so much to ship in food and fuel every day. It's just it's this constant the networks. I watch the financial channels. Whoa, these people twist themselves into circles trying to explain this stuff. It's literally just gobbledygook. This
yeah.
is just stuff that comes out that is not, I think it's a distraction from a lot of the other things. The more we talk about Alcatraz or a Pope AI image, or what was the other AI image after that?
Sith Lord.
The Sith Lord. I mean, those are all just distractions from stuff that's going on that I think is really important.
Yeah.
So I don't pay that much attention to that because it's not ever going to happen.
Yeah, I you know, you touched on something I've been thinking about, and I don't I don't say this to like goof on him, but I wish there was this, he had this ability just to go, I'm not an expert on that. And I don't know much, but the people,
it's just, we're so beyond that.
I understand, but like,
I mean, I don't have time to play it here. I think we're even wasting time talking about it.
Well, you know? When he's talking, I saw him talking about Alcatraz, and of course he had NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell there. When he was talking about that, he's like, I think it's a museum now. I think he's like, no, it's not a museum. I mean, it's a tourist attraction. It isn't really.
It actually makes money.
It does. And it seems like he was spinning his wheels and he seemed unprepared for that. And I don't think his people are doing him any favors by putting him in that situation. It's okay to go, I don't know, but this is the concept. I think you said this yesterday.
On purpose.
But I think you said this yesterday. He doesn't want to reopen Alcatraz. He just wants secure prisons. He likes the idea of this.
I'm just saying.
Like
spinning in circles. I'm at the point now where the really important things I care about. These other things, I'm not going to. I think it's all a troll. I think it's all just feeding into this. Let's talk about that and we won't think about the other stuff. Look, if the people who voted for him are happy with him and they're happy with what's going on, the next thing that any of us can do is go to the ballot box. And that's it. So, you know, there's just this constant trying to figure out or wishing that things were or someone is thoughtful or someone thinks about things or someone would say no or someone would say this is crazy. It's not going to happen. This is where we're at.
And I understand you're right. And I'm not upset about this. I just see this as an opportunity. Like there's something so relatable just if he just said, look, I don't know how it's going to work out. I know. It's wishful thinking.
You're exhausting yourself with this kind of, it doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Was that Sue Henry who came up with it just doesn't matter?
No, that was my old show. I stole it from the movie Meatballs.
It just doesn't matter. The things that matter, I'm going to pay attention to.
Do we still have that, Johnny? Just doesn't matter?
I'm just going to pay attention to the things that actually matter. I'm not going to say anything's going to change on this other front. This is exactly what they want people to do, is talk about this nonsensical stuff. What's going to happen is going to happen. People will, if what they say is true and we end up with really high prices and empty shelves, you know, nothing you or I say or they say is going to change how people will feel about that. All right. What the hell is going on at Newark Liberty International Airport? Folks, help us out.
Because I read the articles. I don't know.
It's really scary. There was a story of couple of days ago and I saw it and it said, you know, insider says Newark is not safe. Don't fly. Then I see the story that there's an airline telling its customers to go to a different airline. What happened was there was a problem, a meltdown in communication, which is a real problem. The transportation secretary, Sean Duffy, told Fox News that air traffic controllers lost primary communication and the backup line did not immediately take over when they were chatting with some flights in the sky. United Flight 674 radar contact lost, a controller tells a pilot flying to Newark from Charleston. We lost our radar, so just stay on the arrival and maintain 6,000 feet. The same flight, traveling at hundreds of miles an hour, returns to the radar but does not show up in an accurate position. Well, that's really frightening.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a CNN report, the connectivity between FAA radar and the frequencies that air traffic controllers use to manage planes flying in and out of the airport completely failed. Without radar, another approach controller told the pilot of a smaller aircraft to rely on towers for clearance. So this is no crashes happened, but at least five FAA employees took 45 days of trauma leave afterward. So they have to, they're leaving because they were so freaked out.
That's the freakiest part. I had heard about the trauma leave and it was,
So they said the incident has compounded what is existing staff shortages and equipment failures, and it is contributing to frustrating hours-long delays for passengers. More than 150 flights in or out of the airport yesterday canceled. More than 350 are delayed. The FAA says it expects delays at the airport to continue due to the staffing shortages. What the hell is going on? The current shortage of air traffic controllers, nearly the worst in 30 years. But, I mean, a shortage of people is one thing, and that's a huge problem, don't get me wrong. But a system that completely goes out off the edge and no longer works, and then right. the backup doesn't work immediately, like, that's technical stuff as well. So
these are things you shouldn't that shouldn't happen. You'd think, like, here at the radio station, for example, we've had equipment failures where our radio station computers have broken, but we have built-in backups that immediately pick it up, and you never notice.
Yeah, it's crazy. United Airlines crazy. Passengers flying through Newark being urged to consider switching to other airports because of all those delays and things. And just so you know, they say that those, the controllers union is saying they did not walk off the job. Those controllers, there were 20% of FAA controllers who left Newark Airport last week. The controllers union is saying they didn't walk off the job. The controllers didn't just walk off. They were traumatized. Their equipment failed. It is written in the regulations, if they experience a traumatic event, they can take time off to go see a psychiatrist. The people working that day did. So it's going to affect things for some time. So I think I have to be honest with you. I've been very concerned.
Yeah.
About any flights anywhere being on a plane. I've taken a step back because I don't know who messed with what systems.
Yeah.
That makes me very concerned.
I have thought, for the most part, I thought maybe you were being overly cautious. Maybe, I hate to say, like, living in fear, because the odds are most of the planes are going to be fine. That's a horrible thing to say. This is just crazy because it's like, all right, this is a huge airport. How do these things happen? They don't seem to have backups in place to cover these issues, and it bit them in the butt. And
how does the system go completely down? That's what I'd like to know. That's I'm very confused.
That's like the most important part of the story. I think that everyone's focusing on the delays and the cancellations and these people.
How did that happen?
And why? And how can we ensure it's not going to happen again is a huge part that I don't see people reporting.
We need to know what happened there and why the backup did not work. But are you flying anytime soon?
Nope,
especially out of that airport? Are you concerned? Would you switch? I'm curious to know what you think. The boss, though, Sean Duffy, is vowing to fix what he calls a frail system. So a top Democrat is calling for an investigation into what they're calling chaotic Newark airport delays.
Bob Seger.
There you go. Come on. Is he still the same, though? Are any of us still the same after all these years?
No.
You know what's wild? You run into some people, at least I do. I run into some people I have not seen in decades.
Yeah.
And sometimes you go, whoa.
Times have changed.
No, I'm just saying in your mind, you go, wow, that's very different. And then the other times, I ran into someone I swear to you I had not seen since the day I graduated, which was quite some time ago. And I saw them and I go, they hardly even look like they changed. It's so wild.
Some people
age like so much better than others.
It was this somebody who you aren't on Facebook with social
yes,
media?
This is somebody I had not seen on social media. Somebody, I don't know if they are, and I doubt they're not very active on social media at all, I don't think.
I used to think that social media took away the need for things like class reunions because we see what you're up to. We know what you look like. The truth is, we don't know what you look like. Mm-hmm. We really don't know how things are going for you because people put out a message that they want you to see. And that's the big lie of social media. You bump into somebody and you're like, whoa. Okay, I didn't know.
You're saying like it looks so much.
Or like
different.
Sometimes if you don't pay attention, I've noticed this where especially as people, like there was definitely a time I think when social media it was like a class reunion and everything was up to date. But there's a lot of people who've kind of stepped away. They've realized this is rotting our brains and our families and everything about our life. And I think that there are some folks who just walked away from it. So sometimes you see somebody and you're like, oh, that's cool.
And the picture has it's old.
Oh, it's like from 2014.
Right.
And you're like, those kids I'm seeing are in college or they're married and that person doesn't look. Yeah. So it's pretty wild. Like I think that's going to be like we'll call it the big lie of social media coming in the next few years when we start bumping into people again going, but I just saw you on Facebook.
Right.
Oh, that picture was from 2012.
Right. Well.
Yeah.
And
what's new? Everything.
It's like life's tough.
It is. Sure.
So I'm not passing judgment. I'm just saying very wild how some people seem to never change. Of course you get a little older. I'm not talking Botox or changes like that. Just, the aging gracefully. If that's the word. And sometimes it's just your genes. That's all it is, right?
Yeah. No names here. I just say this. Sometimes you see someone a lot and you don't realize it, but then you get up to they come up to tell you something in private, like, hey, come here. And you get closer than you usually get, and you're like, oh, they're hiding their age so well. I know that sounds weird. I just never bump into someone, you're like, oh my God.
No, usually you can tell. I don't need to
you're
be
more
up
observant.
Close. Maybe you just need your glasses.
I saw someone recently up probably about 4 feet closer than usual.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, well.
I mean, they look great. But not as great as I thought. I felt better about myself.
Still the same. So Bob Seger will be in our birthday game later on, so you can give yourself some time to figure out how old he is. I hate it.
I just did my first grass mow a few days ago. Uh-huh. And it was pretty easy. Fixed the lawnmower. Very proud of myself. But I walked out this morning, and I'm like, what happened?
Yeah.
It looks like a kid who hasn't had a haircut. In a year, and you're like, why don't the parents take care of this? And I'm the parent, and the lawn's my kid.
Get your job going
like
here.
Hell.
Yeah, it's. But then trying to mow in swampy, slushy stuff is not easy either. So, oh well, we'll get through it somehow. But it's been very muddy.
Not me. I'm the laughing stock of my neighborhood.
You are. Nothing's changed. It's not the rain.
Hey, everybody, don't talk to us, weirdo.
All right, we got a lot of things to talk about.
I
got a story on flourishing. What do you have a story on there? The places where people are
blossoming.
Well, flourishing life is happiness and life satisfaction.
Yeah.
Physical and mental health, meaning and purpose, character and virtue, close social relationships, and financial and material stability.
So it's a story that I could use because I have not flourished. I don't like that word.
They have looked at like hundreds of thousands of people in 22 different countries.
Okay.
Young people are struggling compared to the past. People over the age of 50 flourishing more than younger adults, including the U.S., Brazil, Argentina, Australia, and the U.K. So there is less flourishing in those countries from young people. And usually young people have a higher, kind of sense of like, they haven't been bogged down by crazy things like.
I think here's where it's different. I think like my daughter, again, at 8 years old, my daughter, Nancy, she's already convinced that you aren't successful. She's never said this, but I can tell you she's not successful. She hasn't made it until she has the life she sees on YouTube and all these videos.
That's a shame, yeah.
It is. So these kids are putting unnecessary pressure on themselves for years.
That's sad.
They can't take it. Yeah,
in the past, you would hear about this U-shape of well-being over your lifespan, which would be, earlier years, it's up there high. Then middle age, it goes down. Then as you get older, it goes back up. They're saying that younger adults today face growing mental health challenges, financial insecurity, and they have a loss of meaning, disrupting what was the U-shaped curve of well-being. Now, married people usually reported more support, better relationships, more meaning in life. So there's that. People who were working either for themselves or someone else, also tend to feel more secure and happy than those seeking jobs. That makes sense, right? Also, those of you who go to religious services once a week or more, typically you report higher scores in all areas of flourishing, happiness, meaning, relationships. It was almost true in every country, except very secular ones like Sweden. They say that religious communities offer what psychologists of religion call the four B's: belonging, bonding, behaving, and believing. And that gives you that, you know, you embrace hope and forgiveness and spiritual convictions.
Before you give up on yourself, do these things.
But some people who attend religious services also report more pain or suffering. They say that's because it could be because some people go there more during hard times. So you may be going there more because you're looking for that to help you. So but still, overall, it's healthy and good for people. What happens to you as a child can also predict flourishing as an adult. If you had excellent health, if you had good relationship with your mother, if you had religious services, either weekly or per month, feel the family lived comfortable financially. Doesn't mean you have to be rich. Good relationship with the father is important, not as much as the mom. I'm just showing you what's here, but not a big difference between
the
two.
Who the heck are they?
Right. Now, once you get to things like parents divorce, hard financial times, parent single, parent died, felt like an outsider, you know, abuse obviously is a huge one that affects you as well. But they do say, even if you start off in a challenging life, it doesn't have to stay that way. Some people who had difficult childhoods still found meaning and purpose later as adults. And they do say that in some countries, including here in the U.S. and Argentina, hardship in childhood seemed to build resilience and purpose in adulthood.
Isn't that a surprise, though? I feel like, you know, some people will just, you know, the hardship crushes them and they turn into the shell of what they could be.
I think it's probably a lot harder, to
flourish. A lot of people use that as motivation, whether they realize it or not.
Right.
You know, just like things are tough and they kind of work. I think, again, I'm one of these people who, like, I'll take hard times and I'll kind of like turn it into a little movie in my head and then I lose interest. So I've never been able to do that. But, like, everything else you said in this actually makes sense.
It doesn't make sense. One surprising result, though, richer countries like the United States and Sweden, not flourishing as well as some others. These countries do well on financial stability, but they're lower in meaning and relationships. So having more money doesn't mean people are doing better in life.
Yeah. More money doesn't help?
No, not when it comes to meaning and relationships. Countries with higher income often report lower levels of meaning and purpose. Countries with higher fertility rates report more meaning in life.
I got to tell you, they might be accurate, but I'm at a point in my life where I would be happy to, I don't know, take an influx of money and prove them wrong. I'll test it for you.
I think that's a pretty common thing that people will say. Because when you're struggling, you say, wow, it would be nice not to have that stress in my life. That's, you know, I think that is one of those things. I think on the other hand, for someone, when they do well, if they are missing any of those things like meaning in relationships, right?
Yeah.
It may make them feel emptier because you hear all the time about the person with all the money in the world, whether they're a star or whatever, and everyone loves them, and yet they still are constantly seeking whatever it is that is missing. And having a yacht and having, you know, a Rolex and having all these things doesn't fill the empty space.
No, I mean, having nothing versus having everything, at the end of the day, you're still trying to feel real to yourself and believe that what you have or don't have is like an accurate representation. No one wants to be hated. You know what I mean? It's crazy. We really don't. It's so true. Comedians are like this notoriously where they share so much. They tell their stories, but we don't know. They seem happy, but you see them for an hour or 45 minutes a day. We don't know what really happens behind.
Right. Well, many of them, it seems, do struggle a lot, and they almost feel this need to make other people laugh.
It's a defense mechanism.
I think about Robin Williams all the time in that, and you go, like, that's just heartbreaking. You know, that his whole life, he was so funny, and he just seemed like a really caring, loving human being who just wanted to connect with people, and then in the end, to be alone himself.
He's an interesting case in the sense of, like, he had addiction issues early on. He cleaned himself up. But when I was on the West Coast, there were some comedians I knew, and they, in the San Francisco area, he would show up at this one comedy club all the time and just sit in the back and hang out, and people would get advice from him. Some accused him of stealing jokes. That was a whole different thing. But he loved being in that environment. And I think there is something really like, when I, even when I go to, if I go to like a comedy type show, I just feel this, I feel the energy. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a, probably how a dog hears dog whistle. There's something in the air almost, or it kind of brings you out. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if, I wish it was, maybe it's money for me. Maybe it's the attention of others. We all seek something out.
Right.
I will say this is a strange thought, but the whole time you're talking about this, you know how some people don't like the word moist? The word flourishing is going through me. I don't know what it is. You're saying it, and I'm going, oh,
flourishing.
I don't know why.
It's like, you know, when something is really, really doing well. It's not just, oh, I'm okay. It's like, I'm not just okay. I am like thriving. Does thriving work better for you?
It does, definitely. Okay. Yeah, that's soothing. For some reason, again, I understand what the word means, but I'm hearing that. And every time I hear flourishing, I'm like, ugh. I can't explain that.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to job status, flourishing scores higher for those who are employed or self-employed, but retirees are at the top of being happy. It was like just a little bit above self-employed. So it goes retired, self-employed, then employed by someone else. Then under that is student, then homemaker. And then you have the unemployed looking for a job. So I get it. Retired, you know, you don't have to, you're not forced to go somewhere and do something. Self-employed, you don't have to answer to anyone. You are your own boss, which, you know, some people that is like, to them, the greatest thing. I make the decisions. I don't need to have to deal with someone else telling me.
But it's also, I think it's a certain nice feeling. Some people have this. I can relate in a way. It's like, you're going to succeed or you're going to fail and it's going to be on you. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're right. Not, it's, so
if you're
know.
A control freak, that's, you know, it's all on you.
Yeah, it is. And that's a you real big deal.
You can make it or break it for yourself. You guys flourishing out there?
Please.
Are there any thoughts on the flourishing?
In bringing up assumptions, we now know the guy's name, Kaven Markwood. He's the one who fell from the upper deck 20 feet onto the field at the Pirates game last week.
Oh.
Again, if you haven't seen the video, don't seek it out. If you did see it, it'll stick with you for a while because he just fell. He like head over heels and just, boom, landed on the warning track.
He landed right on the warning track. He's awake now, right?
Yes. And it looks like his family says he has a long road ahead of him.
Okay.
But they're saying it feels nothing short of miraculous that he is going to get through this, you know, albeit a recovery time. He's going to have to, you know, work to get better. But when this story happened, and I watched it almost, not so much in real time, I was like an hour behind this story, and I'm watching this thing happen, and almost immediately people started to make assumptions and speculate. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he jumped. I saw the video. He clearly jumped, as if it was he was trying to hurt himself, take his own life. Other people were like, he's clearly drunk. Others were like, he's showing off because he's a young person. God. This is why we can't have cell phones. Everyone's. But we found out. We just found out. Like, you know, I jumped into that, and the best I could come up with was maybe he was trying to be silly and slipped. I didn't know. But the truth came out, according to authorities. There's no scandal behind this.
Right.
There's no like crazy backstory. Mm-hmm. It's gravity. He got excited. Witnesses watched him. I guess they saw him get excited from a big play. Mm-hmm. He jumped out of his seat a little too exuberantly, mm-hmm, and flipped over and accidentally lost his balance. It was just an accident.
I know, but and I saw where they're going. Like, well, he had two beers through the
he's
game.
He's 20
and
as
it's
well.
Like, okay, so he's underage.
He's underage, but people were saying, people were saying, you know, he's, you know, one person said he was drunk. But everyone else is like, no, he wasn't. We saw him. He had two beers and he was talking to everyone. He was fine. It's crazy.
So sometimes just things happen.
Exactly.
But remember, when we first talked about this, we had talked about it. And I said, oh, he fell. And you were like, well, it's kind of weird. Some people are thinking he may have jumped. You know
what I'm saying? Well, sure. What's wrong with us? Why couldn't I just go, let's be patient and wait?
Right. What's wrong with you? No, I wasn't saying that, but I'm just remembering back to that. And I said I hadn't really seen the video. You had seen the video.
Multiple times.
And so, yeah, we're very quick to want to assign blame, I think, sometimes, because I think the world's a scary place. I mean, this happens all the time. If, you know, there's a car accident or something, we feel very vulnerable, I think, when we see things. And we almost want to know, like, I could have protected myself from that happening. So it's almost like you want to know, well, how did it happen? What did they do? There's got to be something they did.
Yeah.
And no, sometimes just something really stupid happens.
Part of me thinks it's like the news cycle or social media where we want to have the
instant
information
answers.
First.
Yeah.
We want to have the funniest comment or whatever. But I'm thinking back to my childhood when a neighbor of mine, this is a weird memory I haven't thought of in 40 something years. The neighbor behind us, who my mom would talk to in the backyard, passed away just out of the blue. And I remember overhearing, like a couple hours later, my mom telling my dad that she killed herself. And as a kid, that wrecked me because I didn't know what the hell that meant. Mm-hmm. And looking back, how would she know so quick?
Right.
She was gossiping.
Yeah.
There's no way she knew. People probably just start whispering. It's probably just part of being a human. Our ears work real well. We like to whisper. We like to share this stuff. So
yeah, it's nothing new. It's nothing new at all because
it's just a megaphone.
My mother and her family, and especially back in the earlier days when you're looking at like the mid 1900s, back then no one would even talk about things like cancer.
Right. That was like a joke.
So it would be like, you know, they would never say it. But all the stories, like many of them that she had about people in the family that died, it was always, you know, some kind of it was because of this or it was because of that. And almost every one of them in time we found was wrong. It was like, was wrong. And it's because I think there's just this need for people to talk about things or have to assign something that caused something to happen when it just was bad luck.
This could have happened to anybody. In fact, it probably has happened to most of us where something stupid happens and you hurt yourself. That's what it looks like. It looks just like a weird accident.
Okay.
And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, how would I have felt? Because I always tell my favorite story to make fun of myself is I broke my shoulder playing basketball alone.
Right.
I remember after it happened, there were a couple of kids that came over and they're like, I think you broke your collarbone. I don't know what happened to you. And they were, but if social media was the way it was and people were like, radio host was clearly on drugs.
Or,
and I was like, no, I just lost my balance.
Or somebody assaulted him, but he's not telling anybody.
A ghost pushed him. Sometimes we just, I don't know what
sometimes
the deal is.
Sometimes things just happen and there's no real sexy, crazy story to it. It is just what it is.
Speak for yourself.
Is.
I look great in that sling. But I think like Johnny Lucas, remember that happened to him once? Was Johnny drunk? Johnny, were you drunk that time you left your basement and the big metal door came down and whacked you in the head and knocked you out? Were you drunk?
Or was it just
an accident?
He never drinks. It was just an accident, right? But someone could have thought it was something, a whole big other story, right?
That's right.
Do you remember any of this happening? Because you got whacked pretty good.
Yes.
Okay.
This is
right,
a thing that actually happened.
Yeah.
We had a guy that worked here who turned the corner in our hall, slammed into the wall and passed out. Like knocked out.
He walked into the wall and fell over. Was he drunk?
No.
What?
It was just, he was kind of a guy with a lot of energy. And when he kind of turned and the way he turned so fast and went right into the wall. And it was on the security camera. It was really sad to see. Seriously. Other people would have been, was it this? Was it that? Sometimes just crap happens.
I love this. I just like hearing these weird stories. Like here's another one real quick. I'm not saying I have a big nose, but one time I was in rush for a college class and I opened a door as I opened it, it hit me in the side of the face and cut my nose. Was I drunk?
No. But it happens.
Accidents happen.
So tell us what crazy thing may have happened to you that if, God forbid, it was on camera, people would have assigned some kind of weird, crazy story to it. Just want to mention this pretty wild story, and you don't hear endings like this. A cold case now closed when they find the missing woman alive after 62 years.
62.
She has absolutely no regrets about disappearing. Back in July 1962, 20-year-old Audrey Beckberg went missing from Reedsburg, Wisconsin. The family's babysitter said she and Beckberg hitchhiked to Madison July 7th before they took a Greyhound bus to Indianapolis. The babysitter said she last saw her walking away from the bus stop around a corner. So for years, they wondered, where is she? She was married. She had children. She disappeared on her own will. No criminal activity, foul play has been involved. And they're saying it's because she was in an abusive relationship. And so that's what reports are, that she was in an abusive relationship. She had two children. And now the husband has since died. He died in 2006. One of the two children they had, and it sounds like they must have grown up with this man. One of the two children also passed away. Her mother died in 2023. She did not contact anyone. That is amazing. For a woman to leave and not take her children is one thing. And again, she was worried about her safety is what the reports say.
That's what's so crazy about it, because I understand that. It's not a good situation to be in. In fact, it's brave to get out of it. But to leave the children behind makes me question so much. Mm-hmm. Like how could you – I don't want to be mean. It seems very selfish that you would escape but leave the children behind.
She has no regrets, it says.
Crazy.
She is now 82 years old, has been living under a new identity, has since remarried. She cooperated with the authorities in closing her own cold case. She has not verified whether she has children with the second husband. And the detective in the case says he is not discussing her location. That is important to her. She doesn't want people to know where she is.
So let's put it on the news.
They said she is confident in the decision she made. Well, no, they closed the case because there's still interest from the public. You want to know what happened. So they say it's closed. She's okay. And she feels she did what she had to do. And that is that. And we can all have our, you know, would we do the same? You know, most as a mom, I would say it would be very difficult for me to leave my mother, my family, my children. But we don't know the particulars of the case.
And like now, a minute after saying it, I said, it feels selfish. Someone may have a situation like that where you could explain to me clearly why that's a bad outlook.
We don't know all the details.
Yeah, we don't. So I apologize if that went too far. I'm just saying, like, how do you leave your kids?
Yeah,
maybe
right.
There's
with
an explanation.
An abuser. That's very
right. Odd. We got Storm Tracker 16, meteorologist Joe Snedeker.
Good morning, Joe.
That right there is a deep cut from my man, Seeger. Yes. There it is.
Love him.
Crank it up, Johnny.
Crank it up the music.
Louder!
Yeah, we got the bridge.
Make it distorted!
We got the bridge.
Perfect.
When you want the bridge.
There he comes.
Here we go. No.
Nope.
Shining brightly.
That's a great song. It's a really good one. All right.
Nice
anyway,
bridge.
It's his birthday. We don't have
right,
to yell
Johnny,
at each
yeah.
other. Whoa.
So Shining Brightly is a song by Bob Seger. You maybe have never heard, but I listen to that all the time just to get me feeling positive. And PMA, we all need more positive mental attitude, and that surely helps. So Bob Seger, 80 today. Our rock stars are getting old, aren't they, these guys? They just keep getting old. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I you know what? Happy birthday, Bob Seger. I love you. Now make the rain go away. That's what I like.
Well, it's going to shine brightly. The sun is coming later in the week. Actually, later in the weekend, I should say. Right on time for Mother's Day. But, folks, if you're getting depressed with this pattern, keep in mind, you can still live fully with these days, assuming you don't have to work outside all day. But, you know, if this were almost any day in the winter where there's snow and there's ice and you have to bundle up, we get showers, but then they stop for 3-4 hours. So you take the dog for a walk. You don't have to bundle up as you go to Wegmans.
Yeah,
you can go for
I
a
know.
Quick little walk around the park.
Yeah,
it's in the 60s to 70s.
It's ruining my favorite month.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. And you know what? If you're like me, and this is such a first world problem, I'm going to a wedding this Friday, a destination wedding. I have not cut the grass in over a week, and my yard looks like a tropical rainforest.
That's true.
And if I don't cut it tomorrow or Thursday, I'm going to be stressed out at the whole wedding. When I'm away, I'm going to be like, oh, my God, I won't be able to cut it.
And it's so wet.
You might be able to,
it's going to be yucky with the tractor.
And then it gets too – even when you cut it when it's too tall, now you have mats of grass. I think tomorrow could be a good cut day if we can dry it out. But today, on and off downpours and showers, we're having some now. They're going to break up about 9, 10 o'clock. Then the sun may even come out a little bit. And then there could be more downpours and thunderstorms this afternoon into the evening. So keep that in mind. If you add up all the rain today, It may only be 3-4 hours, but what you get could moisten everything. And in between, take that dog out for a walk. 68. Now, tomorrow, finally, this big upper-level low that's been plaguing us, would you believe it leaves? So it's over New England tomorrow, which means we're going to dry out under it. Clouds and sun. High is about 70 tomorrow. It should stay dry. I don't want to rule out a stray shower, but very stray tomorrow. And even a good part of Thursday, I think we'll get by, especially morning, early afternoon, partly sunny, 70. Now, Thursday, late in the day, showers return. Friday could be a washout, only near 62. And then that low that's going to form on Friday, here's the big question now. Will it exit by Saturday? The data is conflicting. The best case scenario is maybe clouds early Saturday, then we dry out in the afternoon. The worst case scenario is clouds linger on Saturday and showers too. And then finally late Saturday, it dries out. But all scenarios give us a nice Mother's Day. So Sunday, Monday, and probably into Tuesday, all dry, back up into the mid-70s. From Mama.
Good. We need it. So yes. More than just a day, but like you said, a couple of two, three days of nicer weather coming at least.
Yeah, at least into Sunday, Monday, and into Tuesday. And speaking of Bob Seger, I have to ask you guys this because we judge here on the morning show. We always show birthdays of celebrities and how nuts they are. And we have the if you are married three times, we say you're nuts. That's it. End of story. Bob Seger is on his third wife, but he's married to the current one for 32 years, so I think he gets a pass here. I think not.
Yeah. Wait a minute. You're saying if someone's married three times, they're nuts?
All right, so there's some caveats.
Okay.
No deaths. So you marry, you get divorced. You marry again, we understand. The third time, we're starting to wonder. Maybe you're a little off here. Maybe there's something wrong with you.
I don't know. Can't you look at it the other way? Like, they're trying. Like, they haven't given
up. Maybe
they're not quitters. Yeah.
They haven't given up. They still believe in love, and they're trying. I mean, so rather than be like, I'm burned, I'm done, I don't care anymore. I don't know.
No, you don't do that, but you say, okay, why get married, though? After three, let's just have a nice life together,
Here's an example. I know you were talking about. John Cleese. You know John Cleese. John Cleese has read an
interview. Oh, yeah. How many?
Well, I just read an interview with him, and he said he still works and hates it, but he has to because his last divorce almost killed him. And he's 85 years old. He was married to Connie Booth. He did Fawlty Towers with, and he got married again, and divorced in 1990, married in 92, divorced in 2008, and he's on his fourth wife, Joe.
Fourth wife.
See?
Oh, man.
Oh, it says here, asterisk, he's crazy. Yeah, you're right. It's right there.
I don't know.
I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with being crazy, but it might be you and you might be crazy. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe they just fall in love quickly and I don't know. I'm going to give him credit for trying. What the heck?
Yeah, like two times, maybe it's them. Four marriages, it's you. I mean, I don't think
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Three is borderline.
Bob Seger found love. True love for a long time, finally. So it can happen.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Third, borderline. Four is when we start getting judgy. Three is still okay based on the circumstances.
You're getting judgy. Can we get judgy about the ones that stay married but they don't talk to each other?
Well, what are we going to judge? They're just a quiet couple.
I don't know. Last night, I turned on the NBA playoff game. It was the New York Knicks and the Celtics. I love watching live sports. You know that. I've told you this. I won't watch NBA most of the year, but when we get down to these games, I said to my husband, I said, you know, I kind of want to get some sleep tonight. I'll watch this game. I'm not really concerned about who should win. By the time it was getting to the end, I'm like, go Knicks, because I really, watching this Jalen Brunson was just amazing yesterday. But I said, with my luck, this thing is going to go overtime. And it did.
But, should I say this? Buy a lottery ticket, Nancy.
Anyway, the Knicks rallied from 20 points down to win it in overtime. It was wild. And they did it at the Boston court, not at the home court. So it was something to watch. I do want to mention, speaking of sports, how you folks can win tickets to the NASCAR Cup Series race at Pocono. It's going on Sunday, June the 22nd at Pocono Raceway. You can enter to win grandstand tickets at WILKNewsRadio.com. Now, one winner will win Club Pocono tickets. These seats include infield parking pass, food and beverage, shaded seats, racing electronics scanner rental.
Which I want so bad, by the way.
And a paddock pass ticket. This pair of tickets is worth $1,000. You can enter once per day. The NASCAR weekend at Pocono is June 19th through the 22nd. So go to WILKNewsRadio.com. You'll see contest. Click that. You'll see where you can enter to win.
Yeah, that's exciting. I would love, again, years ago, someone told me that, like, you get the scanner and you could follow the race. And this is before smartphones. I guess everyone could, but they said it's such an experience to do. So that, like, grand prizes. Super cool.
Yeah.
It's like it's different than what we've done in the past year. So I'm kind of excited for someone to go and enjoy that. I don't know exactly who Paddock was or why. Yeah, I don't know who he was or what he was. But either way, that's a heck of a grand prize.
Right. So, that's, by the way, also in the other game, which was the West game. Sorry, there's something playing here. I'm trying to turn it off. The Nuggets beat the Thunder. Another really close game. Aaron Gordon sinks a go-ahead three. Nuggets stun OKC in a huge finish. Again, 121 to 119. And that's the late game. I'm like, I can't. My husband's going, he was half asleep. And I turned the TV off. And he goes, oh, we're not going to watch the West. And I said, you're not watching anything. Like, you're sleeping. I will, if it's on, I will watch it. And I'll never get to sleep. That's the only thing about these games. They're so late. I think it was like 10:15 when I got to bed.
Yeah, I haven't watched a basketball game, and I can't tell you how long. So I get to keep up. Now I can tell people about Jalen Brunson, who I thought was a poker player.
He was a free agent, and he was worth every penny last night. That Doyle whole Brunson. Thing was on his back. By the way, the Knicks won 108 to 105.
I recorded it, Nancy. It's on the VCR.
You were going to watch that.
I'm not trying to brag. Because that's scary. I took a shower and I had no creatures on me.
Horrible.
That's what you get for living in, what did you say, the country?
Horrible living in the country. No, I love the country, but that's the horrible part of it. So I believe, obviously, this thing, look, we've been outside doing a lot of stuff in our yard and such. But yeah, I woke up to that. I'm showering and I feel this thing on my, it's like on my back. And then I get my husband and, of course, it's like, I need my glasses. I need a light. Here, stand over here. I'm like, get this thing off of me. Ugh, I hate it. Hate it. And it was, you know, it wasn't just starting there. It must have been there, I'm going to guess, since I went to bed last
2024.
Night.
Oh, that's
I don't,
it?
I think that's it. I don't know for sure.
Do they eventually burrow into your body?
Because you cannot see it. You cannot see it, like, from the front. And right. I only felt it because when I was showering, I had happened to hit that spot. And I'm like, what is this?
You have long arms. I could never reach that far back.
No, you would have. It wasn't way back, but okay, gotcha. It was bad enough. Ugh, I don't know. It could have been there because I showered the night before, you know, so I don't know how long it's been there. Let me just say that it was, you know, we do have that antibiotic. There's a doxycycline. If you end up with one that's engorged, you can take it just in case as a preventative, which I did do. Because unfortunately, where we live, we've had a number of these things happen. We usually do the tick check, but I didn't do a tick check yesterday.
So, well, we know you did the shower fault. This morning. That's okay. You usually do that every time you walk out and come back in?
If we're outside for a while, really? Like my husband, before he jumps in the shower, he'll be like, can you check? And I'll look on his back because, you know, there's certain spots we can't see.
That sounds like a line I would use to try to get my wife to look at me. Come and check me out to see if I have any bugs on me. And she'd say, you have a mirror. Do it yourself.
Stop it. By the way, that's not nice.
That story,
help each other.
When you told it earlier this morning, I think it right now it's lacking one part, which is at 4 in the morning or 3:30 in the morning that you're like, help!
My husband had gotten up, I heard him walking because our room is not far from where I was showering. And so I'm yelling out for him. And normally he'd come running and I didn't want him to panic or anything. But I'm yelling and I'm trying to rinse my hair because, you know, I have conditioner in at this point. And I'm like, help me. And finally, I just grab the towel. I'm walking, still dripping through the house going, where are you? And he was outside on the deck because he was watching. He checked on the rain because we have some projects going on outside, which are now just mud. And so he comes walking in and I'm like, hello, I need some help here. I've got a tick. And that's when he went into quick speed of, okay, go in the bathroom. I'll be there. And then I'm like, where are you? I got to get my glasses. He comes in with the glasses. Then he goes, I need to get my flashlight. I'm like, please get this off of me. I hate them. They're horrible. Especially when you know that they're like sucking your blood. It's a horrible, horrible situation.
Yeah, they're pretty horrible.
It's awful. Do you want to see it? Here's a picture of it.
But your skin looks like...
No, that's not my skin. That's the... It's on the granite countertop.
Oh, inside my God. Of a your whole skin looks gray and
no, inside
splotchy.
Of a piece
it's
of like, tape.
No, I can kind of tell.
It's horrible and creepy.
You got to send... I did an interview a few years back with some of the student scientists at East Stroudsburg University. You can mail them your tick.
I can send them that tick if
and,
I'd like.
And they could be like, well, it just turns out he's a jerk. Or they could tell you if it has diseases or whatever. And now that's... And they track all that stuff.
Yeah.
East Stroudsburg University. I just thought it was a place to drink.
No, but they do stuff like that. You can send it. And the point is, I have, because of the fact that this has happened before, they give us like just a few pills to get you through. So I took two this morning, which they always make my stomach feel really yucky, doxycycline.
How you feeling now? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. I had to eat a donut this morning. You know how that goes. It was a struggle just so I had some food in me. But that's what you do to kind of prevent it. Anything happening. Somebody asked me where the tick was. It was on my back, but by the rib cage, kind of.
No more questions. It's getting kind of personal, don't you think? I got your back.
I'm not telling you where it was. No, that's where it was.
Let me tell
so
you.
So it was kind of like when I was showering, you know, I'm rubbing this, and I felt this like rubbery thing there. And then you know the feeling if you've ever had one.
Oh,
it's
so you
horrible.
You weren't like, what is on? You knew it was a tick
oh,
right
I
away.
Oh, I knew it was a tick right away because at first I felt it and I thought, is it like a fuzzy, you know, like, but no, there's a definite feeling because when you try to move it, it's not letting go. And then you're like, oh.
The worst part.
And when you can't see it, you have this thought in your head that it's like, you know, the size of a watermelon.
I mean, that would be impressive.
That would be horrible.
Back
to the traffic quickly, though, because I did mention it. Folks, we just want to let you know. 81 northbound, we are checking into this. Someone says, on the side of the road, tractor trailer, it's on its side on the big curve coming down to Dixon City, 81 northbound. So I'm going to guess, you know, as you're going through Dunmore and coming around to Dixon City. Someone said they believe that's going to cause some problems there for traffic. So if you're traveling that way, you can either go another way or just kind of expect that there might be some issues.
I had an idea after driving around the past couple of weeks. I think instead of traffic reports where the roads are slow, we should just tell you what's clear. It would be a shorter report. Here are the roads to travel. Avoid the rest.
Yeah, it's bad.
It seems like I've mentioned a few times I have this car issue I'm dealing with. And I can usually keep the engine overheating issue okay as long as I'm moving.
Right.
And yesterday I had to drive through Dixon City and I'm driving up toward like the Peckville area. And there was for me, this is like the nightmare situation.
Mm-hmm.
One of those sign guys with a stop sign saying, hold up. And the line of cars back, they have a backhoe digging up the street. And I'm like, we're going to be here a while. And I'm watching the temperature gauge that I've hooked up to my car. It's click, click, click. So I had to pull in. I had to stop twice because of this stupid thing.
Wow.
I want to ask you this question too. And I don't know the answer, and I'm not trying to be gross here, but I'm watching this. Maybe I shouldn't even bring this up. It's gross. But the guy was getting sick over and over again, the guy with the sign. And I wanted to be like, take a day off, dude. And I'm not making fun. I felt bad for the guy.
Not everybody can.
That's horrible. We really should think about that. When you see someone like getting sick like 3 times in 5 minutes on the side of the road, and you're like, they can't take a day off. Something to consider. Just maybe next time we have these discussions, it's worth talking about that. Not everyone, if you have like paid time off, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, you end up on the side of the road throwing up and people are just like, gross, dude, we'll take time off. But either way.
Anyway, we'll let you know more about that traffic situation, folks, when we have our traffic update coming up. Do want to mention the Newark Airport situation. Someone did text us about saying that they're going to pick up a family member who's flying in from California. There have been a lot of delays at Newark International Airport, and there are some real serious concerns about safety there. There are a number of problems. Equipment issues, and they're calling it due to aging technology. Fewer air traffic controllers. The FAA has now imposed new ground delay for all Newark-bound flights. So that is just coming across right now. I'm going to get some more information on that. Because that's a big deal. This is an airport that a lot of people from this area utilize. And so they've had a bunch of problems there. Delays are nothing new, but the recent rash have been out of the ordinary. More than 440 flights affected yesterday. And they say the troubles are continuing today. Shortly after 6 a.m. at Newark International Airport, 33 flights already canceled, another 11 delayed. In addition, 36 flights scheduled to land have been canceled, another 14 delayed. The airport's runway, 4L22R, closed until June 14th. That's because they're doing something to help improve infrastructure, they say, and comply with standards. So those are problems already. But the air traffic controllers, last week, staffing issues at the Philadelphia Terminal Radar Approach Control, which is a regional center guiding planes into Newark Airport, they caused massive delays, even a ground stop. A spokesman said the air traffic controllers temporarily lost radar and communications with the aircraft under their control, unable to see, hear, or even talk to them. They said a number of those controllers took a leave of absence because they consider that a traumatic event on the job. It's in their contract, and they can go and talk to a professional about this. I can't imagine the stress that you have when people's lives are in your hands. And all of a sudden, they had 30 seconds where they could not see or hear or talk to any of the pilots to know what was going on. So United Airlines on Friday announced the elimination of nearly three dozen round-trip flights from its daily schedule in and out of Newark because they have continuing air traffic control staffing problems there. They are telling their customers to go out, fly out of another airline. And United is Newark Airport's largest carrier.
Yep.
So 10% of the daily agenda. So they have technology issues. Secretary Sean Duffy plans to announce a plan this week to upgrade the technology that air traffic controllers rely upon to help flights land safely.
I hope this is a follow-up because that was after that the accident with the helicopter down in D.C. He had come out
saying, a lot of problems we've been having here.
He had come out afterwards saying this is antiquated software and we need to upgrade. I hope that this, when he says there's an announcement coming, it's not just like, oh, we'll come up with something and let you know. Hopefully this is the culmination of a couple of months of discussions because
they need
to do something.
I've been concerned even before we got this report out of Newark about the safety of flights. There have been a number of people on background talking to reporters about concerns about safety because of inadequate staffing. And that was a meltdown that happened at Newark Airport. And can you imagine to have absolutely zero communication and you don't know how to I'd be absolutely freaking out to think that you can't tell planes and pilots to watch out for this and you're completely blind.
You mean your
and
job
deaf and everything. Yes,
it's your job. And then you're completely cut off. Someone had texted earlier going like kind of alluding to the fact that these people were soft because, oh, they've taken trauma time. I don't know what it's like to be in that situation where you are in control of so many people's lives, but to, again, not have that ability. Imagine driving down the highway and your windshield goes black and you're going 80 miles an hour.
But in this case, you're the one who has to talk to other people.
Well, yeah, it's a scary, dangerous situation.
Right. Just a really horrible story out of Luzerne County, this murder case. And we've got a man who is now identified as a suspect in the fatal beating and shooting of Jessica Ann Lockwood. You may remember the body that was found on fire. At first, people thought it was a mannequin. It was Jessica Ann Lockwood. Very sad story. She's 39 years old, and she was killed, police say, in the home of 55-year-old Terrence Ray. This was on Muir Avenue in Hazleton. They say that they have a number of pieces of evidence linking him to this murder. The Luzerne County DA and the Hazleton Police Chief, they held a news conference yesterday to talk about how they have charged this man with criminal homicide, tampering with evidence, and abuse of a corpse. Now, the family knew she was missing, and I guess they were able to find her phone through tracking.
Yeah.
They also found a text and a contact that she had made and was meeting up with this man, who her husband claims was a pill dealer. Now, authorities, you know, the reports are coming out now that she had a substance abuse disorder due to pain after a number of surgeries on her neck. And they were able to figure out, I guess, his vehicle was the last vehicle to be seen because they use one of those license plate readers. Leaving some location towards that Club 40 Road, which is where her body was found. So when they went to his home, they searched it. And they say they found a gold earring. One was on her body. The other matching earring was found at his home. They also supposedly, according to their evidence, found a pool of blood. And some other items as well, including ammunition similar to that they believe was used in her murder. It's really sad. It's a sad story, but they're trying to find him now.
Right.
Because he is, they believe he's fled Luzerne County. Now, the husband, I guess, had called him when she was missing to ask about her whereabouts, and he said she never showed up for that meeting. He's gone now. And it's a really sad story. They say other than the pool of dried blood, they found blonde hair matching hers, a trash bag covered in blood. They also say they found a torn piece of clothing, matching fabric that they found wrapped around her legs. Court records say surveillance footage showed Ray moving her Honda from his residence to about a block away on April the 26th. Hours after the body was found, Ray is said to have told a person known to police, "I blank bad, I won't see you guys again." The cell phone has been turned off. They believe he found another vehicle to flee the area. So if you happen to know of his whereabouts or have any information, you are told not to communicate with him, but to call police.
Yeah, sounds like he thinks he's going to outsmart everybody.
Yeah, these are the kinds of things that desperate people do, but usually it doesn't end up well for them.
No.
A concern would be that they believe, court records allege, that maybe his wife and kids may be in his company as well. I want to talk about this story. The top toughest jobs in America.
Number one, this show.
This is very tough. I woke up with a tick on me, engorged.
That's how we planned the show.
That is a tough job.
Runs through the woods with no shirt on, and it's crazy what happens.
Okay, that didn't happen. All right. Anyway, now this is interesting because when we talk about toughest jobs, it's not like what experts say. This is what you people believe are the toughest jobs. And I may agree with some of you on these. All right. So when it comes to the toughest jobs, what do you think the top job would be? Come up with some. Because immediately when I thought toughest jobs, I'm thinking like manual labor jobs. So I was thinking like outdoors, like construction on the roads.
So I was thinking they might do like a trick question where it seems like you'd go manual labor, but it's going to be something with a lot of pressure and time involved, like a lawyer.
Mm. Oh, please.
Well, I'm just saying that. I don't know who's sponsoring this stupid thing.
Another one I thought, police emergency officers. I'm thinking that's got to be tough.
Oh, yeah.
EMTs. I would think that's a really tough job.
Teachers are tough, too, because they don't get a lot of support. And it's like, I think it's like one teacher for 90 children
See,
now.
I think it's all what people think tough is. Well, I think there are jobs that are tough in terms of physical labor. And then there are jobs that are tough in terms of you know, physical strain and pressures on you.
Yeah, I mean, I would completely retract lawyer then as I'm thinking about it more. I think I meant more like just people with high pressure.
That's not an offense to people. I think a good lawyer is great. There's nothing wrong with a lawyer. I'm just thinking, you know, toughest, I don't know. Yeah. Here's the thing. The poll included 2,000 Americans asking respondents what they believe the toughest jobs are. When they think of tough jobs, construction workers.
Okay, so it is a manual. Okay, that's good.
Firefighters.
All right.
Military personnel.
Yeah, I agree.
Doctors. These are the toughest jobs in America. Police officers ranked number 5, followed by EMTs and astronauts.
Astronauts?
Now, some people
make the list? There's
listed
like 50 of them.
Unique professions. Others share descriptors of what makes a job challenging, like solving other people's problems all day with little to no help. So, again, others said constantly making quick decisions and stuck in stressful situations daily. So, you know, the toughest job. Now, there were a number of people that they asked, also in the trade profession, trade workers. So they may see what's tough different than non-trade workers. And, you know, a lot of trade workers don't think trade workers get enough credit for the work that they do. So, you know, that's another part of this as well. What do you think is the toughest job out there? I'm really curious what you guys think. I'd love to hear your thoughts on when you think of a tough job. And I think, you know, again, tough jobs where you've got a lot of physical strain on you. Like, I think a surgeon would be incredibly difficult because you would need to be on your feet doing very detailed work for a very long period of time with someone's life in your hands.
I agree with that because there's a mental pressure that you're on your feet. You got to stay awake. I love everything on this list. It's so much better than where my mind was taking it, with the exception of astronauts. The United States currently, Nancy, has 47 active astronauts.
Well, I think that it's a tough job because you have to be mentally strong to be able to be in that kind of an environment.
But I feel like that'd be like, you know what else made the list? Shortstop for the Mets. Like, it's just very narrow. But the rest of it, I love. I agree 100%. All those people deserve all the respect.
So I would say, you know, firefighter, construction worker, military, doctor, police officer, I get all of that. Right. And I think when it comes to doctor, not that, you know, every doctor, you have to go through really long schooling and it's important.
Sure.
But some jobs as a doctor would not be as stressful as others, I would think, depending upon what type of doctor. Surgeon, I think, would be up there.
I
can't even imagine that.
ER doctors, anything trauma. Oh, it's horrible.
EMT or paramedic is number 6, right behind police officer, as we said. Yeah. A farmer is number 8.
Yeah, I get that.
Air traffic controllers, we're talking about the situation at Newark, is number 9. I get that. That must be mentally exhausting.
Yeah.
You're having an off day somewhere else. Imagine that, though, when people's lives are in your hand. Oil worker 10, then there's nurse, roofer, electrician, home builder, engineer, pilot, teacher is there, tied with pilot, lawyer, carpenter, then drywall plasterer. We don't have radio jobs on here at all, so...
Yeah.
There's just no respect for the work that we do.
My hands are baby soft and I've never cracked a sweat. I'm just saying, it's not like physically hard like that.
Right. But if you folks were to be asked, what do you think is the toughest job?
We got Storm Tracker 16 meteorologist Joe Snedeker.
Woo! Drag it out, baby. Drag it out. So Bob Seger's birthday today. He turns 80. He's an old guy. I think 80's old officially. 80. You could be a young 80, but you're still old.
Just wait till you're like 75. You're going to be like 90's old.
I know. Yeah. I'm 59. So old is always at least 20 years older than you are.
Right. Well, time is marching by, isn't it?
You got that right. All right. So... Nancy's favorite month, Jason. Are you a little upset? I mean, here she yearns for May. May is here, and now rain.
Yeah,
your favorite month tainted.
I feel like you're taking it out on me because she's like, this is because of you. I'm like, I don't know what that means, Nancy. I didn't mess up May for you. Blame Joe. No, she's not saying that. I feel bad, though. This is like, it's like being excited for like your beach vacation. You show up and there's a hurricane. That's what it feels like. You know, you look forward to it. And it's like, oh, I can't do what I want to do.
Right. Well, we'll get through this. It's not the biggest deal in the world. We'll get through it. It looks like it might get nice eventually.
It will. And last year, it rained on 20 of 30 days in May. Last May was pretty wet, too. But you don't think about that. You know, summer comes, everything's green, you just move on. So we'll get through this. But we're getting a band of rain now all the way from, you know, Honesdale area, Schuylkill County. And it's just now cutting through Poconos and Scranton. This is going to lift on out. So give it another hour or so, we're going to get a break. The sun may even come out. But that sun will aggravate the atmosphere, a little pulse coming in, more scattered showers, thunderstorms, and downpours this afternoon with that next system coming on in. But it's all a part of the main spin that will drift over us tonight. I want everyone to think about that. When you're sleeping tonight, think this big cauldron of counterclockwise moving air at 20, 30,000 feet above your head is going to move over us. And if you're saying, so what? Well, as it moves over us and then leaves, it's going to end the rain. Tomorrow, I'm stressing out. I have to go to my niece's destination wedding. The flight is Thursday. Tomorrow is my last day to cut the grass before I leave. And it looks like a pretty good-looking day. It should be mainly dry, partly sunny, and near 70 tomorrow. So I think if you're like me and you have to get things done, tomorrow could work out. Now, how dry your lawn is going to be dependent on so many other factors, but what the heck? We'll give it a try tomorrow. Near 70, a passing shower. And then on Thursday, I still think a good part of the morning, maybe early afternoon, will be dry, but then more showers start moving in late in the day, about 70 on Thursday. And then Friday could be wet, barely reaching 60. Now, that Friday system may linger into early Saturday. Let's hope it kicks out so we salvage Saturday afternoon and evening. About 65, but Sunday, Mother's Day, looking good, and so is Monday and Tuesday of next week. So we got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, maybe even late Saturday to all look forward to, and tomorrow, which isn't going to be too bad, partly sunny and near 70. So you got to find the good. You got to find it and extract it.
Right. You have to.
I'm trying.
You know what? The grass is a living thing, and the rain is going to make it thrive. I think that's a positive.
Oh, yeah. You're getting deep, man. So
I'm trying to be positive.
I got to get that done tomorrow because if, you know what? I'm going to my niece's wedding. If my grass isn't cut before I leave, I can't go. I will not go.
Oh, stop it.
Where's Joe? It's a long story, but he's on his tractor.
he had to get the grass.
It was an emergency situation. I know he RSVP'd, but he just, grass had to get cut.
See, there's a couple guys out there. There's a couple dads that can relate. I'm telling you, they're like, yeah, I know what he means. You can't get that. You gotta get things done. Yeah.
Well, you know what? You know what happened to me this morning? I woke up, took a shower, and had a tick on me that was engorged. So, how about that? How about that for me to start my day?
So, without getting too nosy, may I ask where it was?
Yeah, everybody wants to know. No, it's all right. I was wearing a sports bra tucked underneath by my rib cage in the back.
So when you wash, because you can feel like a little bump or a little tenderness. Did you feel it or not?
See, here's the thing. It's literally, I have a scar from like reconstructive surgery way back. And the scar, I have zero feeling on it. Literally no feeling at all. So normally I think you'd feel a tickle or know something. So I'm washing and I feel this thing. And you did you ever have one on you like that? And it's rubbery.
Yes.
It's that horrible, like that all of a sudden, as soon as I feel it and I pull and it's not coming off.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, horrible realization of just creepy everything, yuck, right? So I'm yelling at 4 o'clock in the morning to my husband, who went out on the front deck because he's mad that it's raining and he's checking the mud in the backyard and the flooding. And I'm yelling and yelling. I'm running through the house going, get a tweezer, get this off of me. It was horrible. What?
The bigger deer tick? Bigger one?
No, it's not. I don't think it's a deer tick. I think it's a dog tick.
Okay, but so, they're a little bigger. The bigger ones are less transmittable, I think.
I know. They get Rocky Mountain from what I see, but I did take the doxycycline.
That's a positive take.
I take doxycycline. No, it's not a positive take.
I know.
But we have doxycycline. I tried to explain that where we live and my husband hunts and my kids fish and stuff. Like, this happens, and they just tell us to take, like, a doxy if it's engorged, you know?
Okay.
So I did take that as, you know, after getting the tick off, I did take that just to prevent.
And also a good 48 hours you need. Do you think it was on there that long?
I mean, if at the most, I would think it would be maybe 36 at the most, because I took a shower the night before that day, so like I would have known it then, but I doubt it. I'm going to think it might have only been since I went to bed last night.
It's just so invasive when you get that. It's like,
it's
how
disgusting.
Dare you?
Yes, it's like, it's disgusting. You're feeding off of me. That is gross. And then everybody I told this story to today starts scratching themselves and itching. Oh,
yeah.
And
that's what I'm doing now. I'm looking all over.
It's kind of like in humans, instead of a tick, it'd be like, what happened to you, Nancy? This weird guy in the woods gave me a hickey. That's what it would be like. Just a stranger attaching themselves to you. And it's horrible.
How dare they?
And they don't want to let go. It's like, no, no, I'm feasting.
We don't know that they don't want to. Maybe they can't. I don't know. Maybe they want to.
They want that. Anyway, that's all.
My son, who is now 27 and lives in Denver, I always bring this up. When he was 2.5, I had to pull a tick off of him. Guess where it was?
We already know.
We can end with this because I'm going to be uncomfortable.
It's in the private spot.
It was on his testicles.
Yeah, that they do that because it's warm, it's moist. I mean, that's exactly where they go on guys. It's true.
Very obvious, but that's nuts.
we shall talk tomorrow.
The story.
See you later.
See ya. First, before we get to our game, it is a couple of important days that we must keep in mind. We were talking about what you think are the toughest jobs.
Right.
And some of you have texted in your thoughts. We've got truck driver, right?
That's a tough one.
Photographer for an adult magazine. That's a tough job, said another. Another one talked about garbage collectors.
What makes that job tough? Oh, that part of the garbage collectors, yeah.
Cooler movers for soda product. Another says customer service.
That's true.
Honestly, your job is tough. You need thick skin because I'm sure some of the texts you get can be nice. Some can be terrible and bad on the psyche. That is probably the hardest part of a job is just, you got to just realize that people will say things. I don't think everybody means the mean things they say, but some of them do. My dad always had a saying, say what you mean what you say, but don't say it mean. Some people need
Where's
to learn that,
been
that
my
one.
Whole life?
Another says, nurse, I am with you. I think nurses have a very tough job. Today is National Nurse Day. So if you work with nurses, please, please, please give them love today. Also, National Teacher Appreciation Day. I think that's another job. Maybe people during the pandemic, of COVID, taking care at home with their kids realized it's a tough job. But thank the teachers in your life today as well.
And give them supplies. They probably need it.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, they buy so much on their own. All right, it's time to play a little game.
It's the celebrity birthday game.
Got a few birthdays today. Jason's going to guess the age within 2 years. It's considered a win. It's Bob Seger's birthday. Don't know if you know that.
I think I remember.
How old is he?
I think Joe Snedeker told me 3 times, 80.
3 times 80 would be 240. That's a bit old. He's 80. Ding, ding, ding.
Thanks for Johnny's ruining like, the game, Joe.
Roma Downey, Irish actress. She was in Touched by an Angel. I remember that show. How old is she?
70?
65. That was a tough one. Tony Blair, former British Prime Minister.
God. Worst celebrities are those retired politicians from the UK. He's 68.
72.
I give up.
And George Clooney, you know him, an actor. I remember when he was on Sisters, that show, and he was like, it was like he was new and upcoming, and I was like, whoa.
When was Sisters? I'm trying to think.
You remember that?
No.
It was like a show about sisters.
Oh, was he a sister?
No, he's a boyfriend of one of the sisters.
I remember Facts of Life. And the original.
Oh, gosh, that was a long time ago.
He was on a comedy show called ER before the drama.
Right.
That's true. The George Clooney is 64.
He is 64, right on the nose. You know you're George Clooney. If it's your birthday on this May the 6th, happy birthday. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary as well.